Good afternoon, and welcome to this episode of the Full Press NFL Podcast. My host, Terrence Biggs, with me as always. He is the managing editor of Full Press Chiefs, also the social media manager for all things fullpresscoverage.com. Brandon Hollichek, what's going on, man?
I'm doing really well. We got just a few days left till the legal tampering period. We've already seen some deals, teams kind of preventing some in-house options from hitting the open market. I don't know if we've seen this many kind of moves like that before things are official in a long time. So already getting some great movement and can't wait to get into our topics for today.
Now, as you cover the Chiefs and I cover the Raiders, and what players would you think or would you want your team to sign this offseason?
For Kansas City, for me, I think my list, I'm kind of focusing on traits where I just think they're severely lacking athleticism wise in a couple of key positions. So I wrote down a couple players here. Obviously wide receiver, probably the biggest need right now on the team. I think there's many kind of second or third tier options they could go with and not have to break the bank for. But if I was in that spot, I think Marquise Brown is the wide receiver that interests me the most, just with his speed factor. I think how he can take the top off of the defense. You can use him so many different ways. I think in an Andy Reid offense, he was someone I think if the Chiefs made a trade deadline move last year, he was someone that I think a lot of people had their eye on. But now as a free agent, I think he still makes a lot of sense for Kansas City. I think they'll probably still add another. Maybe guy with size in the draft or maybe still in free agency, but I think for that speed factor, something Kansas City's coveted the most at the position, I think I have to go with Marquise Brown is who I'd want to see the most. And then I listed one defensive end that I think would really be interesting. I know Steve Spagnuolo's done really well with kind of these power relentless guys, guys that are going to work through you and not necessarily always around you, but I think a little bit quicker guy off the edge that I think would be fun in Kansas City is Josh Uche from New England. Has the length to really combat a lot of blockers with quickness, and I think there's just a lot of intrigue there if I was in that spot that I'd like to add maybe his speed to the pass rush. So a couple of guys for me that I'd love to see the Chiefs go with right there.
I would, before I tackle the Raiders, I want to ask you about the Chiefs. With the point you made about defensive end working through you and not working around you, that has been the hallmark of the Chiefs defense throughout this championship run. Why don't you think more teams will embrace that strategy?
I think there's a lot of teams that just really kind of want to look at maybe the stats that you can kind of rack up quickly with certain speed guys. I think you look at some of the faster pass rushers in the NFL that have been able to produce. I think it just kind of gets a little bit more attention, and I think it kind of just speaks to maybe some of those guys that are able to maybe carry a pass rush unit on their own. Where Kansas City's usually been a pretty bit, excuse me, a lot more, I guess, well-rounded in their pass rush and how many guys are able to produce.
I would go for the Raiders, Russell Wilson. Simple fact that we talked about this before the show started. I feel odd about trading up in a draft, especially for a quarterback. On the law of averages, just simply tells me that not every one of these quarterbacks are going to be good. And being someone who follows the Raiders, chances are their luck will dictate that that quarterback they choose will not be good. So keep that pick, throw 2-3 year deal at Russell Wilson, just for the simple fact that he's coming off another decent season. He completes passes. His play was never the fault of why Denver was atrocious. From stern to bow, from ship to stern, all of it just bad management wise, bad coaching wise. I believe that in that offense where the Raiders want to pound the ball, that play action with Wilson and then be able to find Davante Adams over the top, they'll be in some money. Who else did you see the Chiefs signing?
Yeah, I think for the Chiefs, one name that I think is I guess been talked about a lot for Chiefs fans and even some people that cover the team. It seems like Darnell Mooney's another receiver that has been kind of heavy on the radar. I think his ball skills are really interesting. His yards after the catch, just really, really slippery player in space. I don't think his route running is perfect, but I think he's developed adequately in that area throughout his career in Chicago. Obviously a smaller frame, but Kansas City's not been afraid of having those kind of guys with Mahomes. So if I have to go with another receiver, Darnell Mooney's a name I've kind of probably personally warmed up to a little bit more than maybe how I felt about him coming to the Chiefs a couple of weeks ago. And Matt Nagy, for what it's worth, his last 2 years as Bears head coach was with Mooney there in Chicago. So there might be some maybe connection there that Mooney could tap into in Kansas City. So if I had to go with another receiver, that's a guy I'm kind of warming up maybe more to the fact of him being an option for Kansas City.
See, I'm seeing a pattern. You're having these game breakers at both offense and defense. I think as someone who probably the rated the Chiefs should go with, you know what? Just start with the I format. Just start with the power I. Just have Mahomes just run the ball 80, 90 times a game. Just, we need to limit those weapons. There's too much. But in all seriousness, I have a guy in Kendall Fuller who I believe that the Raiders need a cornerback. They have had one of the better defenses when Antonio Pierce took over. The defense stepped up to a whole other level. They allowed 15.5 points a game, which is mind blowing for a defense that was getting shellacked for. The corners are their weak point because they have a decent pass rush. Those corners will see more opportunities to jump a route, knock a ball down. They need defensive help. I would have gone offensive tackle, but I'm not sure if I like any of these right tackles in this free agent pool. Now, this one is kind of interesting to me. You have a high risk, high reward type. Who is one bargain free agent that you could see somebody signing and you would want somebody to sign? It doesn't have to be the Chiefs per se, but anybody. Who's a good value pick?
Right, like you said, not necessarily for the Chiefs. I think this is a receiver that's always been able to kind of play his role really well. He's obviously not going to be a wide receiver one, maybe even a wide receiver two in an offense. But out of all the kind of bargain free agent wide receivers, I look at Josh Reynolds. Obviously, been with the Lions the last couple few years. Was with the Rams before that. Big frame, tall body, but can still kind of add some yards after the catch. I think he's really kind of refined as far as his ball skills go. He's not going to necessarily wow you every time, but I feel like he's just a trustworthy piece that you don't really have to worry about him, not being able to hold his own and really can run from outside or in the slot. Works the middle of the field really well. SpotTrac's listing his projected market value per season at only about $7 million. So at that price, to me, I think that'd be a tremendous addition if you're looking for maybe a third body at wide receiver to add to your offense.
Now, for me, I would go Christian Fulton. Just for simple fact, there's a two-part reason where he has all the talent as far as long arms, good in coverage, can stay hip to hip with just about any wideout. The good part is this: he had a monstrously awful 2023. Bad. That kills your asking price in the offseason. As a result, he would be a good flyer for somebody just on that fact that he's not going to ask, or he's not going to have a whole bunch of money thrown towards him. And he's still only 26 years old, which plays into he's just entering his prime. Now, who are players that, regardless of money, you're not touching with a 10-foot pole?
Yeah, I guess I kind of feel, I guess, a little crazy keep going to the wide receiver well here, but this was one name I just, out of all the options for any team at wide receiver, I think Gabe Davis is someone I'd have a little bit of buyer's beware over. SpotTrac's listing his projected market value per season at $13.6 million, but I think with already the tags to Michael Pittman Jr. and T. Higgins and some of these other guys, it feels like his market could even be higher than that. So that's just probably for me a price point I'm not really willing to go up for a guy that maybe kind of a low end wide receiver too at best. He's had 20 drops in his 4 years in the NFL so far. Catch percentage on average for his career so far is also only about 54.5%. It's kind of weird, a vertical guy that He can add some separation at the top of his routes, but you just don't see it very consistently. I think with the opportunities he had in Buffalo, just always kind of left you wanting a little bit more, and just feels like a narrow skill set where he's never really been able to improve or refine some key aspects of playing the wide receiver position. So Gabe Davis for me is it's just a tough sell right now.
I have two, so I'll go with this one first. Patrick Queen, where I saw him at LSU, I thought, okay, he could be a good inside linebacker. He's quick, sideline, sideline. His first couple of years, I had never seen anyone take on and try to defeat blocks so poorly. And not just that, he has missed 55 tackles in 4 years. His first 2 seasons, he had 35 missed tackles. His last two, with Smith being there, he only missed 23. But the fact is he better? Because Roquan Smith is next to him. That's the part that we don't know. He played better with Smith is there, but what happens when Queen has to be the guy again? And it's somebody's gonna overpay him. The next one is, to me, the most obvious red flag in the entire draft class, free agent class. Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams can't cover a cold or a shift. He is terrible to coverage. Awful. For a safety, he might be one of the worst covering safeties I've seen in a long time. And he's best as an undersized blitzing linebacker. Just blitz him. That's it. That's all you can do. Just let him go downhill and take it that way. And coverage, he is lost. Unfortunately, his perception of his skill set and his actual worth, they are uneven. He's going to want a high dollar value because he's only 28 years old and he feels as though his sack numbers dictate him being a great safety. He is not a great safety. He is an atrocious coverage safety. And you might as well just change that jersey number, put a five or a four next to it, and just make him a linebacker because safety is not him. And he was a misfit in Seattle as far as not just his play, but his attitude is awful. He talks himself out of positions. He talks himself off of teams. He makes himself enemies within his own locker room. To me, that's scary if you want to invest millions of dollars in somebody. With that said, when we come back from break, we have more free agent predictions and where we think that certain people should go. But that's after a quick timeout. You are listening to the Full Press NFL podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press NFL podcast. Terrence Biggs, Brandon Hollacek. Brandon, we had a list last time, and I have a few more for you. Now, Justin Simmons was just released by Denver. Where do you see him going?
Yeah, this one I kind of think of a couple different teams at first. Miami was kind of one that I think could be really intriguing. But I think I have to go kind of with the layup here and go with Philadelphia. Obviously the Vic Fangio connection from when they were together in Denver, but that's just such a scary secondary right now. If I were an Eagles fan, I think the instincts that he has would be something that would give you a lot more comfort there. Obviously his ball production was pretty wild in Denver, 30 interceptions in 8 seasons. Just knows how to find the football. I think for a secondary that was just so horrid last year, Justin Simmons would be, I think, about as great of a pickup as you could get for a veteran guy in Philadelphia.
I agree. I think that the Eagles, they somehow succeeded with one of the most overrated secondaries in the last couple of years, where you saw James Bradbury, who can't, as somebody who followed the Chiefs, you saw James Bradbury, who can't cover anybody without touching them. He is touchy-feely as far as in coverage, and it will get flagged 10 times out of 10. Now, here's one that's kind of interesting. You have a younger guy in Jeff Okudah, the former Lions slash now Falcons cornerback. He's only 25. Do you see a decent market for him, and where would you like to see him land?
Market-wise, I'm not really sure if it'll be like extremely fruitful. I don't even really know. I guess money-wise, what to even guess with him. I wouldn't be surprised if it's kind of a cheaper deal. I guess one team that's kind of interesting to me is Stephon Gilmore, or sorry, Dallas. You had Stephon Gilmore there last year, and still can kind of hold his own, but you kind of have had this kind of mishmash of guys that have maybe been good kind of secondary players, but not necessarily guys that can kind of take it over. I think on a team like Dallas, where you have Deron Bland there to kind of help him out, I think that would be a nice place for him to kind of be, maybe in a secondary spot with the Cowboys.
Agree. You have a guy in Devin White who Super Bowl champion, still only 26 years old. Upside, where does he go?
Oh wow, yeah, this one's interesting. Devin White to me kind of feels like he could be a piece in Denver, honestly. I think Josie Jewell, obviously pending free agent. I would be a little surprised if he returns, with Sean Payton kind of getting the guys he wants in the building. I think the ability that he has to play in space and make those plays all over the field. I think that would be a nice division to kind of add him into if you're Denver trying to counteract all these pieces from the Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders. So Broncos would be an interesting one to me.
I would. That's another guy I wouldn't mind seeing on the Raiders, but I just feel as though he didn't command a lot of money. Now, this one is kind of interesting to me because he's an older player, but I think he might still have some time left, and he might be a decent fit for the Chiefs. Calais Campbell. He's not going to command a lot of money. He's 37 years old, but he's durable, length, the ability to play inside and out. Could he help a contender?
I think so. Yeah, he was still, able to kind of provide enough push in the pass rush last year. I believe he got his 100th career sack at some point last season with the Falcons. Yeah, you mentioned the Chiefs. That'd actually be an intriguing spot. I think Miami's another place that could be interesting. Just knowing he's probably not going to command a lot of money, where Dolphins have a little bit of financial issues to sort through. Obviously, Christian Wilkins looking like he's going to move on. So. Miami's a spot that would be really interesting to me.
I agree. They need something as far as anyone to be able to come in and help them because I still don't understand why they decided to let Christian Wilkins go.
I
And I
don't
just
either, yeah.
that's wild to me though. But here's a guy where he was eighth overall pick in 2020. You have Isaiah Simmons, late of the Giants, formerly of the Cardinals. He can play inside, he can play outside. He started at safety for the Giants. Where do you see him?
Yeah, that's an intriguing one for sure too. I actually might go with Seattle in this one. Obviously, new head coach Mike McDonald can run a versatile defense there. This feels like a really exciting coaching staff they've put together to kind of take over for Pete Carroll. So yeah, I think like you mentioned, the ability to play inside and out. I think Mike McDonald could do really well with someone like him in Seattle.
I think so. I think also a team like Atlanta, where the Falcons are trying to find something at point, and you have a coach in Raheem Morris, who's a defensive guy, and he was a defensive backs coach, and he possibly could see something big in Isaiah Simmons. Now, this one is odd to me because you have a player when he's healthy, he's open, he's tall, but he's injury prone. DJ Chark, the former Panthers wide receiver.
Yeah, Chark's. There was a funny thing on Twitter, I think, this week, just joking about if he would kind of continue to play for a cat mascot. Obviously, played for the Tigers at LSU, been with the Jags, the Lions, and the Panthers. So I think if you're going kind of the joking route, you could say the Bengals could add him as a piece so he can continue that trend. But honestly, I think a spot like maybe the Ravens could be interesting. They did bring back Nelson Agholor, but. No Odell Beckham Jr. I don't expect him to go back there anyway. Ravens could still use some more depth at wide receiver around Zay Flowers. So, Baltimore actually is a spot that I think would be really fun for him.
Now, you mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. From what you saw last year, is he done or does he still have a little more to contribute?
I think he's pretty much mostly done at this point. I just don't think there's a consistency that you can really count on there, just with some of the wear and tear he's had throughout his career. And it just seems like, at this point there's just not a lot of explosiveness left or really game changing type of ability, I think, where he can really fool the defense. So yeah, I think he's pretty much done at this point.
Now, as we shift gears, let's talk about the Bills. They have decided to have a not a fire sale, so they've been releasing people left, right, and center. What do you make of this?
I think this is really interesting. I think from a defensive perspective, just because I look at guys like Jordan Poyer. It was kind of interesting last year. I thought he would leave Buffalo and free agency comes back. So now they decide to move on. I think the fact that you're going to probably have to find two safeties total going into the season, I think that's going to be tough for a Sean McDermott defense, at least a big task. To kind of go through with Micah Hyde, also a free agent, and I know I saw some reports about him even contemplating retirement. So you're losing kind of that tag team that you had on the back end for so long. Mitch Morse feels like a guy leaving is probably bigger for the locker room than really even strictly his play. He's still played really well as a center, but just been a huge leader for the Bills and during Josh Allen's time there. So it feels like a lot of guys that obviously their best players on the field, but some guys in the locker room that it's just going to be interesting to see kind of who steps up besides Josh Allen to kind of lead this team going forward after they kind of dealt with some tough stuff off the field with DeMar Hamlin and the shooting and the snow situation a couple years ago last year, kind of that hit piece that came out about McDermott. So I just think from a leadership perspective, it's going to be really interesting to see how this team responds, but I wouldn't say these moves were completely surprising either. I think these were some moves that Buffalo just had to do. I just think there's only so long you can go with the same core. And obviously with the cap space, it was going to be tough to keep everybody. But I just think with the weaknesses this Buffalo team has to kind of, get their next window of competition or a contendership going, I think some of this was necessary. It's just unsure who's really going to step up for them going forward.
I think for Sean McDermott, this is his last stand. His deal's coming up. He wants a long extension. He needs to show management, hey, I want to cut guys that I helped to build this organization with. He needs something where the Bills stand at a crossroads. They are highly talented, but they're also highly underperforming. They haven't played to their ability. Yes. Everyone loved the Josh Allen story. We all do. Unfortunately, we've heard it 8 million times, and it's time to cash in. You notice how they don't really tell this story about Joe Burrow when Joe Burrow leads the Bengals to a Super Bowl and within perhaps a chance of winning. Josh Allen hasn't got there. I know the Chiefs, they present a giant obstacle, and it is to be respected, but how much longer are people going to look at this team and say, their window is open. Their window is closing. Their best pass rusher is in his mid-30s. They have so much to fix on that team. It's now or never. How can people interact with them on social media, and what's coming up at FBC Chiefs?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Braden Holacek 9, BradenHolecek, and the number 9 at the end. Also follow at FPC underscore Chiefs and at Full Press NFL. Yeah, I had the Drew Tranquil re-signing article. That news broke last night. So I wrote about that real quick, what his re-signing kind of means for the Chiefs for 2024 and beyond. And then looked into 10 names that I think the Chiefs could be interested. I kind of prefaced in the article, these weren't necessarily all names that I would push for Kansas City to sign or guys I would really be fully on board if I was in that spot. But just kind of looking into what Kansas City's always looked into, their traits and stuff like that. I think certain guys that they'll be probably looking at the most on the free agent market and how they can fit with the Chiefs. So got 10 names there. I think 4 or 5 different positions. So, yeah, I hope everyone goes checks that out.
I got a post combine draft for the Las Vegas Raiders, and it'll come out either today or early Monday morning. You can find us at fullpresscoverage.com or on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at Full Press NFL. It's for all the news, notes, everything you need to know about the NFL. This has been another sterling episode of the Full Press NFL podcast.